You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and thank you for joining our program today. Today we have a really exciting program, a good informative program, and we're going to be talking about some public policy topics that affect you and the Catholic community at large. We're going to be honored this morning to have with us two guests. We're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming elections in November, Election Day being this, I think it's November 5th of in the upcoming year here, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the candidates who are running and some of their positions and things like that, not endorsing any of them, but talking a little bit about some of their issues. We're going to be joined by a guest. His name is Ralph Rivera, and many of listeners may know him. Ralph is the director of the Illinois Citizens for Life, and he's somebody who we advocate for legislation or against legislation down in Springfield. He's a lobbyist, probably well known to many listeners. We're going to be talking about that for a couple minutes here this morning as we approach 9:02 a.m. And then we're also going to be joined, we believe, in studio by a gentleman who works for the Illinois Policy Institute. His name is Colin Hitt, and Colin's going to talk to us a little bit about what we experienced with school vouchers, school choice legislation that the Catholic Conference, the Illinois Policy Institute, and some other groups were advocating for in Springfield during this recently concluded session. So I think what we're going to do here this morning is have an issue to talk about sort of in the past and how we go to the future. And the second conversation, or rather the first conversation, will be looking forward to the future with Ralph and some of the candidates who are running for office, so listeners know a little bit about their background. Also, I should mention this morning that tomorrow will be the installation of Bishop Paprocki. Bishop Thomas Paprocki, who is an auxiliary bishop in Chicago, has one of the vicariates he's responsible for. He was named by Pope Benedict to be the next bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, and his installation will be tomorrow. And I will be going down, honored to be partaking and participating in that, as well as many others from the Chicago area. So we should keep Bishop Paprocki in our prayers as well. So with that, we're going to be joined, I believe, this morning on phone by Ralph, with Ralph Rivera, who's on the line. Ralph, you with us?
I'm here. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning, and I hope you're having a good, bright beginning to your Monday morning.
Okay, I am.
Yeah, despite the overcast, seems like a little rain's coming our way again. Ralph, at the intro, I was talking a little bit about the upcoming election, and although it may be a little premature, it's only June. Nonetheless, I think we wanted to talk about the election now and some of the candidates now, because I know many of our listeners are very concerned about right-to-life issues and where candidates stand on those particular issues. And, you know, oftentimes what you and I deal with in Springfield is a result of elections. Elections are a matter of choices that people have. And so I thought it might be a good idea this morning to spend some time talking a little bit about the major candidates for offices and some of their positions, et cetera. And I know you as you are in a little different position than the Catholic Conference, and we are a 501c3 organization, so we don't endorse candidates and we don't really get involved too much with the electoral arena. But you're structured a little differently, which frees you up a little bit to do some endorsements and things like that. Ralph, I think what we wanted to do this morning is talk a little bit about probably the race that's on most people's minds as we proceed here during the summer months and into the fall, which is the governor office, the race for governor. Two candidates, obviously fairly well-known, the governor and Senator Bill Brady from Bloomington. I know also that your organization was pretty supportive of Senator Brady in the primary, but maybe just to go over a little bit about those two gentlemen and their backgrounds as it relates to some of the issues of concern for you.
Okay. Well, State Senator Bill Brady, who our political action committee did endorse in the primary, and if the listeners were aware, he won by just about 193 votes from his nearest opponent. We had a number of good guys in the primary, but Bill Brady won by just 193 votes out of like almost 800,000. So, you know, every vote counts and then some, if people ever worry about that. So that's very important. And State Senator Bill Brady is a 100% has a 100% pro-life voting record in the Illinois General Assembly when he was a state representative, and as a state senator, he has a strong pro-life position. Unfortunately, Governor Pat Quinn does not. He has a what he would call a pro-choice position. So that's very unfortunate because we want all candidates to be pro-life. There's no joy if someone is not pro-life. We want all to have that that respect for the unborn life. But that's the matchup that we have now going into the fall veto or the fall session of the General Assembly. Boy, I'm thinking General Assembly here. The fall elections. And so there's a clear choice, if you will, on a strong pro-life candidate and someone who doesn't share that position.
We're talking with Ralph Rivera, who's the director of the Illinois Citizens for Life. It is 9:06 a.m. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 312-255-8408, and that's 312-255-8408. Ralph, just to pick up on some of the things that you were talking about in terms of their positions, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to be reminded that what really power does the governor have as it relates to this sort of legislation that you're talking about? Because in the Catholic community, the words pro-life and pro-choice, those can mean, I think those mean different things in the political world as they do perhaps in the church world. One thing I think, you know, also if people talk about the life issue, they also sometimes talk about the death penalty and the candidate's position on that issue as well. I think what you're talking about specifically, though, is that candidate and how he regards some public policy positions towards treatment of the unborn. So, like, if the governor's office, what difference does it make to have a governor like such in terms of specific issues, such as Senator Brady or Governor Quinn?
Okay, well, the one powerful strength a governor has that we look for is the veto pen. In other words, if a pro-abortion or a bad end-of-life bill or embryonic stem cell funding bill were to reach the governor's desk, if you have a pro-life governor, he can veto that. And then to override a veto takes an extraordinary number. In other words, to pass a bill in the House, it's 60 votes. But if the governor vetoes that bill, it takes 71 votes to override his veto. So just having that governor with the veto pen who shares your views is very powerful and very important for us in pro-life. And then the second thing that the governor has is he oversees these agencies.
Right.
And the agencies set a public policy from time to time. So if their policy is to err on the side of life or to choose life, that's very important. Plus, there's kind of the bully pulpit of the governor. He can go to the General Assembly and say, hey, look, I'd like to see this pro-life bill passed, and I want to encourage you to do that. That's very helpful.
Exactly. I think it's interesting that I think many listeners may not realize just the important power that the governor's, the executive branch has on, it's more than just legislation, but it's who they appoint, the people, their advisors, the policy directions they take, and as you indicated, the agencies and what powers that or rules and regulations that they promulgate as well. We're talking with Ralph Rivera, who is the director of the Illinois Citizens for Life. It is 9:09 a.m. We're going to take a quick break here. The number, if you want to join our conversation, is 312-255-8408. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about some of the elections and the races that are coming up at the first part of our program. In the second half of our program, we're going to be talking about school choice issues and specifically legislation that related to vouchers that was talked about this past legislative session. And in studio with us will be Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking with Ralph Rivera, the Illinois Citizens for Life, about some of the upcoming races this fall in November, the election that's coming up, and we're talking a little bit about the governor's race. Ralph, before we go any further, we're not going to be able to get to all the races for all the candidates across the entire state, but maybe we should give your contact information now, so if listeners are interested in finding out who your organization is endorsing, they would know how to do so.
Okay. Actually, we have a couple of tax statuses. One is the lobbying group, and another one is the Political Action Committee, who I'm on the phone with you today as the chairman of the Political Action Committee. We're the ones that can endorse, get behind candidates, and so forth. But the lobbying group, actually civic group, comes up with a voter guide, which covers the statewide races, the congressional races, the Illinois House, the Illinois Senate, and we do about 13 counties, which I think all of your listeners would be within those 13 counties to talk about the county races and those various candidates. So let me give you a phone number where you can call in. If you could do this after the segment, because I'm sitting right next to this phone,
sure.
It'll be ringing while I'm talking here. But if they would call 773-583-2069, that's my phone here in the office here in Chicago, and just give your name and address and say, "I would like a voter guide." Now, we don't have them now because we're now re-contacting candidates, but by October, we will have these. So if you call us now and say, "I'd like a voter guide," we'll put you on the list and get that mailed out to you.
The number is 312-255-8408 if you want to talk to Ralph or ask him a question about some of the candidates who might be running in your local area. Ralph, after the governor's race, we talked a little bit about Brady, Senator Brady running for governor, the Republican nominee, and Pat Quinn, the Democrat, trying to retain his position as governor after he was appointed due to the impeachment of former Governor Blagojevich. So after the governor's race, what are the other major – there's a lot of congressional races out there as well, I would imagine.
There are there are 19 congressional districts throughout the state, and all are up every, you know, the Congress runs every 2 years, and so there are a number there. There's, for example, out in the 14th district, which covers part of DuPage, Kane, Kendall, and DeKalb counties, is State Senator Randy Hultgren, who's a pro-life candidate running against incumbent Bill Foster, who is not. Unfortunately, he doesn't share a pro-life position. So that, I think, is going to be a major race.
That's the same district that was represented by former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So that area is like Yorkville, Kane County, and that general geographic area.
That's right. And I think there's a good candidate with Senator Randy Hultgren. Generally, we would say this leans generally Republican, and Randy Hultgren's a Republican, so I think it could be taken back into that camp. And if that's the case, there would be an extra vote in Congress sharing the pro-life values.
Sure. I think as the former speaker did as well, if I recall correctly.
That's correct.
Any other races in terms of the congressional area and the local Chicagoland area?
Well, there are.
You're following?
Yeah, there's. I know that in the 8th Congressional District, there's the incumbent Melissa Bean, who doesn't have the pro-life position. She considers herself pro-choice. There's a gentleman named Joe Walsh who's running against her, who does have a pro-life position. So that's kind of a second in our area that we're looking at.
Right, right. I understand.
Yeah, and then there's others downstate. And go on.
No. Thanks for that. I know because a lot of people ask us about the congressional races as well, which is very important. Not all of them are sort of up for grabs right now, but I know those two are as well. The other issues I think we wanted to talk about while we have a couple minutes with you is local state representative and state senate races. You know, obviously most of the work of the Catholic Conference and your organization is focused on Springfield at the state level, and we've been through many legislative issues on parental notification and some other issues as well, highly publicized issues. The Illinois FOCA has been the subject of a conversation on these airwaves for some time. And, you know, that's really where a lot of these decisions can be made. And I know it's hard for people to distinguish between the congressional representatives and state representatives, but and there's so many of them. There are, 119 members of the House and 59 of the state Senate.
118. Right.
118. Who's counting after 100, right? And what are there any major ones that you see shaping up that of importance?
Well, there are, I would say, in the Illinois House, there are about 20 races that we see some wonderful opportunities to gain some pro-life seats. And, I don't want to go through each one. I do want to state some of what we look at now for next year. There are two that we believe we've already, looks like we're going to win already. One is the district in Palatine, where State Representative Susie Bassey was defeated in the primary back in February by a very hardworking, strong, pro-life, pro-family candidate, Tom Morrison. It's very difficult to defeat an incumbent. You know, it's like 98-99% of them get returned. And so for that defeat to come was very important. Representative Bassey, unfortunately, supported the FOCA bill both years it was introduced. And we believe then that if Tom just keeps doing what he did so successfully, he will win that seat in November, and that's a gain for us. Downstate in the Moline District, there's a state representative, Mike Boland, who is not pro-life. He ran for lieutenant governor, so he didn't run for that seat. And both the Democrat and Republican candidates are pro-life, so that's a win for us as well. So we're going into what we believe is next year just those two alone, we're going to gain two pro-life seats.
That's pretty exciting, and I know there's a lot of other races that are up for to be determined, Democrat, Republican. We're going to go over those in a minute. We're going to take a quick break here coming up on 9:19 a.m. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Ralph Rivera of the Illinois Citizens for Life and his organization and what they're perceiving this upcoming session. I'm sorry, this upcoming election cycle. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 312-255-8408. We're going to talk to Ralph for the next 5 to 10 minutes or so after the break, and then we're going to bring in another guest to talk a little bit about school vouchers and school choice issues and some exciting developments in the state of Illinois with regard to the possibility someday of a school voucher program being enacted in the state of Illinois. This is Bob Gilligan. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking with Ralph Rivera of the Illinois Citizens for Life about some of the candidates running for office in the upcoming elections in November. It's election day is what, Ralph? Is it November 5th?
November 2nd.
November 2nd. I keep saying 5th. I don't know. I think that's a Friday. Don't go to the polls on November 5th. I should know that. November 2nd. All right, I got it now. 312-255-8408 if you have any questions. Ralph, we have about 7-8 minutes. Let's go through some of the state. I know because that's the activity where I think that's probably the area where an individual can have the most impact if they really want to get involved with trying to determine the outcome of an election in terms of volunteering or phone banking or that sort of thing.
That's right.
A group of people coming together to support a state candidate for, I don't know, let's just say like a if you have 10 friends who are willing to dedicate some time over a period of a month, you can really make an impact on a state legislative race.
Oh, that's no question about it. In fact, let's just even go to the primary where you had Governor Pat Quinn against Comptroller Dan Hynes.
Right.
I think what separated them was about 5,000 to 8,000 votes. There are a little over 11,000 precincts in the state, so that was less than one vote for precinct.
Yeah.
So people who supported in that race, they wanted one over the other. If they wanted Hynes over Quinn, one vote could have made the difference. With Bill Brady, you know, we're talking about like 1/40th of a vote.
Right.
Could have made it.
Right.
It's that, it can be that close, but you don't know unless you get involved.
Right.
And
right.
In local races, I've seen people win by less than 100 votes. You know, it really can make a difference, but you have to be involved. And walking to precincts, really a lot of fun. You go door-to-door, talk with
right.
people, and or you get on the phone or you just do a mailing. You can do something for those candidates that you choose to work for.
What are the major races you see?
Well, we kind of like don't want to give everything that we're doing because
right.
we assume the other side who is going to try to oppose what we're doing knows who we're working, but not
sure.
really, because there are about 20, I think, good races there, but we're going to hone in on a number and they don't know quite which. But there are a number of House races where we're going to see that and a number of Senate races where we're going to be involved, Bob. And we're going to do those things, the things like getting people to do walking, to do mailings, to do, and then our organization will do mailings to our membership, telling people who's pro-life or not. You know, I'm always amazed that we think, well, everybody knows, for example, that State Senator Bill Brady's pro-life. No, they don't. And,
yeah.
you know, we have
yeah.
to get that word out.
Right.
And so, obviously, how are they going to know that state rep or that state Senate candidate is pro-life or not? And so we have to educate them on that, and it's a matter of doing that and going door to door, but then just helping that candidate get a mailing out or go door to door or get on the phone for a little bit and talk with somebody and say, well, I'm a volunteer for State Senator Brady and that type of thing.
And as I said at the outset, I know the conference doesn't endorse people, but if you want to find out like the specific answers to that question about the candidate's position on specific pieces of legislation that pertain to the topic of pro-life, this issue such as the parental notification bill that we discussed, and where the candidate or stands on the FOCA bill, we passed that sort of thing. Really, the one of the ways to find that out is by calling the number that Ralph gave us earlier, which is 773-583-2069. That's the office. That's the number that he indicated to his PAC, which can help you sort out the endorsements of his organization, and we're just passing that information along to you because we get that question here very often about which candidates are pro-life and which are not. As most listeners probably understand, is the conference follows these candidates on a wide range of issues, so it's not only the life issues that we monitor, but we do seem to get the questions most about the candidate's position on protecting innocent human life.
It seems I realize all churches have multi-issues. I mean, that's the nature of a church. But what we're providing is a very important information on one of the giant issues of our time and the moral issues of our time. We've done that research. We've surveyed all the candidates. We've looked at the voting records. We've maybe interviewed a number of candidates, etc. So we put this together. We do kind of a rating system, and we make it easy for people to see. In fact, our voter guide has, as I said, about 13 county candidate races.
Oh, wow.
And so that's unique. I don't know another group that does that. So we're going to give you some information that you can't find anywhere else. And, if there are other issues you care about, you can always seek those out. But we've done the work on this, and that we think is going to be helpful for you.
You know, the other day when we were talking, Ralph, you had indicated something to me that I was not aware of. And maybe you could just repeat this for the listeners. Since 1972, when Roe v. Wade was decided,
right,
and the position of the Illinois governor with regard to Roe v. Wade, and what were you telling me?
Well, we have never had a pro-life governor since Roe v. Wade. And so that's 37 years, and so in January 22nd, 1973, we have never had a pro-life governor. And this would be the first time ever that if State Senator Bill Brady gets elected, we would have that. And it's a sea change for us. It's just a different ballgame if we could have that. There's great protection for the unborn if you have a governor who is pro-life and he's sitting there with the veto pen and the bully pulpit, and in control of the agencies to make sure that there's good public policy. And just to share with the listeners, we get into elections not because we have some friends we want in, it's solely about seeing that we have good legislation that can pass, or stopping bad legislation, or creating and working with legislators and the governor for good public policy that respects life. That's the sole reason we're involved in elections. It's not for any perks, any... I got a buddy I want to get elected. Not at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's only about the issue.
That's right.
Once again, the number, if you want to contact Ralph and his organization for information about those specific issues, is 773-583-2069. That's 773-583-2069. With that, Ralph, we want to thank you for taking some time this early Monday morning. We know you have another appointment to get off to, so we want to let you go. And
thank you,
so, Ralph, thanks so much for joining us. But
thank
for all the
all.
Listeners out there, don't go away. We're going to be joined now by Colin Hitt, who is in the studio here with us, and we're going to be talking a little bit about school vouchers, what happened last session with the legislation, and where do we go from here to try to enact a piece of legislation that affords children a better educational alternative. The number is 312-255-8408 if you want to talk to Colin about the school choice issue. It is coming up almost on 9:30 here in Chicago, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Gilligan and Brian Brock is now awake, maybe. It's kind of slow on the uptick here this morning, but I think some of us are. We need more coffee in the studio. We are very fortunate. We are very fortunate to be joined here this morning by Colin Hitt, who is with the Illinois Policy Institute. And the Illinois Policy Institute, along with the Catholic Conference and some other groups down in Springfield this year, were very involved with trying to enact a piece of legislation to Well, quite frankly, we're trying to get kids a better educational opportunity from what they currently have. And unfortunately, the bill didn't make it all the way. And what we wanted to talk about today is sort of, you know, what happened and where do we go from here. The number is 312-255-8408. Colin, I mean, maybe we should just start with that. I mean, what did we lose? In essence, how many kids now are going to be deprived of an opportunity that they would have got if this bill would have passed?
Well, I think the way to phrase it, Bob, is probably we ran out of time in the period. But yeah, you know, the fourth quarter begins again next fall, so the ball sits at the 5-yard line. Can we score a touchdown? And a touchdown is an opportunity for 30,000 kids in Chicago's worst and most overcrowded schools to use a school voucher, if their parents want to use a school voucher, to attend a private school of their choice.
It seems over the summer, the news out of Chicago CPS has not been good in terms of the budget constraints they're under, the student-teacher ratios that they're under. So is anything going to happen that's going to alleviate the pressure here?
Well, I can say for certain that in Springfield, no actions were taken this spring to better the lives of kids that are stuck in Chicago's worst schools. And as for what's going on in Chicago public schools, they report that they've got a deficit, that they've got to make policy decisions that unless the Chicago Teachers Union with its new leadership comes to the table and renegotiates some terms, are going to lead to teacher layoffs and bigger class sizes. all of these things would have been helped by Senate Bill 2494, which was the Illinois School Choice Act that would have created a pilot school voucher program for Chicago. Its chief Senate sponsor, State Senator James Meeks, actually spoke about the ability to shrink class sizes with a bill like this as one of its main upsides. So certainly that's got to be on people's minds now, as over the summer folks are going to figure out, are there going to be 35 kids in every Chicago public school, elementary school, or at least in a lot of them? This would have helped that. It would have helped on a number of fronts.
312-255-8408. We're talking about school vouchers and the possibility of enacting such a proposal here in Illinois. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute. Colin, we have the same goal with regard to getting a piece of legislation passed, but we have different viewpoints. Describe the Policy Institute and where you guys are coming at it from, because we're coming at it from we have the schools and that sort of thing, but you guys have more of a philosophical approach to.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you guys have schools and space. We come at from the point of view is that there are 400,000 kids in Chicago public schools, and in at least the lowest performing 10% of elementary schools. 40,000 kids, 40,000 families. These parents have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
These schools, the worst performing schools, have been failing for years. I think we identified 48 schools that would have been targeted by this bill, and 37 of them have been under state or federal academic sanctions for 9 consecutive years or more. Something's gotta happen. So that's our starting point. But next, also, we think that competition works. We think that the more choices that families have, the more places where their students can go to learn, the more force it's going to exert on these individual schools to get better. And that's exactly what the track record is across the country. Florida, Ohio, Milwaukee, all of them have school choice programs of sorts. And the data from all of those places suggests that these things not only provide kids with a better opportunity, but for the kids that remain in the public schools and we enter the public schools, they end up with a better education as well, because those public schools improve because they've got to, or they're going to be empty because parents are going to go elsewhere.
Yeah. I often said down there, you know, I think the greatest social justice challenge and the greatest social justice issue of our time is our inability to afford a better educational opportunity for kids in failing schools. And to sit there year after year after year and watch and just see that there's very little progress being made, if any, towards the providing a better educational opportunity for these kids, it's an injustice that has to be dealt with. And thanks to your efforts and our efforts, I mean, we were there, but unfortunately just came a little short. Like you said, the ball is probably at the 5-yard line. So the bill passes the Senate. By a couple votes. Senator Meeks plays a big role. In the House, though, that was a different issue. I mean, we struggled in the House. I don't think there's any denying that. I know the Wall Street Journal wrote about it. You were quoted all over the place about what was going on there. Tell the listeners, kind of in a brief synopsis, why did the House fail to pass the bill?
Well, first of all, we should say exactly, you know, how close we are, or we were. By most indicate, you need 60 votes to pass a piece of legislation out of the Illinois House of Representatives, no matter how many people show up that day. You have to have 60. It looked like this bill had about 56 to 57. The way that it worked, though, the legislation was put up on the board. The support wasn't there, so some folks took their votes off of it. And the House sponsor, Representative Kevin Joyce, whom I can't say enough good things about, took it back down and said he'd move it to postpone consideration, and if there were 60 votes in the future, he'd put it back up and we'd pass it. So that opportunity exists. It's going to exist every time that the lawmakers are back in session for Springfield, and that's why I say that we are stuck at the 5-yard line, and why it's imperative for people to get a hold of their elected lawmakers now, because we really are very, very close. In terms of what happened, why didn't this cruise, is just to say that this is tough legislation. I don't think there's any doubt that school choice legislation, school voucher legislation in particular, is the toughest education reform legislation to pass anywhere in the country. And the fact that we are so close in Illinois is really changing some folks' mind about the art of the possible, not only here but elsewhere. Illinois' reputation is that this is a state, if not run by, extremely strongly influenced by teachers' unions, large unit you know, district membership organizations, and just a lot of the folks who represent the adults within the public education system. But the simple fact is this legislation focused on the kids. A year ago, if you and I had been sitting here, folks would have said, no way.
There's
it's pie
no
in the
way.
Sky. This, right. is a, this is a thought piece.
Right, right.
But there's just, you're going to have to find other ways to help kids. But that changed. That changed when State Senator James Meeks, the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, himself, a man of faith who heads a huge mm-hmm. church on the south side, and a parent who's had kids go through schools
right.
in the area, decided to support legislation like this. And then a diverse coalition, the Illinois Policy Institute, the Catholic Conference, Senator Meeks, several prominent members of the Hispanic Caucus, some very energetic Republicans, all came together and are still working on this. But the reason why we're not there yet is because entrenched special interests
yeah.
are influential in Springfield, and it takes a while to overcome those.
It takes a while. I think what you said is true. Is if we were sitting here a year ago, who'd have thunk that we could have taken it as far as we did? And I think that's a credit to Senator Meeks and his leadership and everybody that kind of came together and. We almost pulled off the miracle, but not quite. But it's not over till it's over, as somebody once said,
well, that,
Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. Music starting. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute about school vouchers, school choice issue that we were dealing with in Illinois in Springfield, and we're going to be dealing with it again. The number to join the conversation is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year, we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute, having a good discussion today about school choice vouchers and what happened with the legislation in Springfield. If you want to join the conversation, it's 312-255-8408. We're talking at the break. You know, maybe it's a good idea to sort of take a step back and describe exactly what was in the bill. What did it do and kind of the general provisions of it?
Sure. What this bill was, it was called a pilot or an experimental school voucher program. And the reason why it was described like that is because this wasn't simply a bill where any parent in Chicago or any parent in Illinois could have simply received a school voucher and taken their kid anywhere they want to. Some people think that's good policy. Others don't. This was a beginning to see if this could work. And
failing schools.
And so they said in failing schools. Right. These families had nowhere else to go. If there's anybody who needs more choices than what their current economic situation and what the public school system affords them, it's these families.
Which was an issue for at the beginning with some people who rightly point out, well, you know, how do I tell the parents in my district who are spending $5,000 X number of dollars more per child that we don't get the voucher, but it goes to somebody who's paying nothing, which was a dynamic that we had to deal with.
We certainly did have to strike a balance, and that's right. And a lot of families are able to easily afford tuition, but there's a lot of families in the neighborhoods that would have been targeted by this bill where mom and dad or whoever are breaking their backs to be able to afford to send their kids to a private school of their choice. It's, you know, safer or better for whatever reason they send it there. This actually would not have helped them directly. There's a point at which you have to begin.
Yes.
And this would have begun with families who are currently stuck in failing or overcrowded schools and have nowhere else to go. So maybe it would be bittersweet for some folks, but I don't think there was any question about the fact that on balance, this was an enormously positive and transformative piece of legislation.
It was. Absolutely. Yeah. You could tell from the legislators who normally would just have a knee-jerk reaction of opposition to it that this was something that, as when it was explained to them, that they got it. They got it. We should talk a little bit also about the overcrowding schools provision, because that did kind of come up at some point in time during the process.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and for good reason. In Chicago, looking just at test scores, which are important, the worst performing schools, the bottom 10% that we were looking at, were overwhelmingly African American student populations. 95% African American, 95% low income on average. A couple of heavily Hispanic schools, but isolated almost entirely within African American neighborhoods. And the bill, nonetheless, was receiving very enthusiastic response from the Hispanic Caucus, from a number of prominent Hispanic legislators, and they were saying, "Look, you know, we're for this ideologically, but our communities aren't without their challenges as well." And anybody who's seen the work of, say, an organization like UNO, the United Neighborhood Organization, who's done so much to broadcast the problem of school overcrowding, knows that this is a big issue. And it's only going to get worse. So taking a look at this, it was able to address, A, a very real policy need, but B, also diversify the number of communities that were going to be served by this bill. And from an economic point of view, it was a no-brainer. Private schools, Catholic schools, a number of them have hundreds, if not thousands, of available seats within walking distance of these overcrowded schools, and giving students a 4,000 student voucher is a lot cheaper than pouring new concrete. And then again, telling the kids to go there. Their parents get to choose as well. So mom and dad get to have another choice of where their kids go to school without having to move neighborhoods or towns or whatever.
Right, right. This bill, as you said, in the football analogy is we drove the length of the field and got it to the 5-yard line and couldn't quite get it over the goal line. What's next? What in the process? Well, I guess the first question is, when does the process resume, as far as we understand it? And then what all needs to happen in order to get this bill into law?
Well, as far as we understand it, this process probably resumes in what's known as veto session. It's a fall legislative session that this year is going to take place after the November elections. That is for pieces of legislation that were brought up during this General Assembly to be considered and for a number of reasons. So there is an opportunity there to advance legislation, including this school voucher voucher bill. So what needs to be done? People can find on www.illinoispolicy.org. That's our website at the Illinois Policy Institute. How their legislature voted, who would need to be swayed to support this kind of policy. And they can do that in advance of this fall. If for some reason the legislation does not pass by the end of legislative session, then we begin anew.
Right.
We introduce our Senator Meeks, in all likelihood, but perhaps someone over in the House introduces similar legislation next spring, and it goes through the committee process, and then we have floor votes, and hopefully we can be talking again about being on the 5-yard line, and
Getting
in advance of
exactly.
of marching it in.
Exactly. We're going to take another quick break here for the final segment of the program. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute about school vouchers and what happened with Senate Bill 2494, a pilot program that would have afforded approximately 20 to 30,000 students an educational opportunity that they currently do not have. If you want to join the conversation for the last couple minutes, it's 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th. Perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355 or www.respectlifechicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Poverty in America is the topic of discussion as Catholic Charities USA holds a thought-provoking conference here in Chicago. You know him as the voice of the national anthem. You may get to know him as Damien, the saint. A visit with Wayne Messmer is coming up.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute about school choice legislation. You know, Colin, one of the things that I think was interesting to me as we were going through this, and I thought you guys did a really good job of responding to this, there is a notion out there among some legislators that school choice programs really don't work. It's just the same old, same old. You guys had some good data on knocking that argument down. You want to talk a little bit about your findings on really what's going on with students that are in these programs, because this is not something new. It's been going on in certain segments of the country, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and some other areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, any argument that school voucher, school choice programs don't work is just patently wrong. There are two bodies of evidence that are extremely convincing. First deals, how do kids that get these school vouchers do? And we see that compared to their counterparts, they do well. And this is why we're able to test it. And in social science or in research and policy research, there's this gold standard called random assignment.
Right.
People might remember Time magazine from about 2 months ago had a picture of, you know, a girl sitting at her desk. And it wasn't about school vouchers. It was about a piece of education research. And it was an interesting topic. But the reason why that was cover story worthy is because it used this basically airtight method to test this particular policy called random assignment. And that means kids who sign up for these voucher programs, there's almost always more kids than there are vouchers. And it means they've got a lottery them off. So everybody who signs up belongs to families of parents that are at least motivated enough to sign their kids up, because that's an argument against this. Parents don't really care, or the kids that are going to use these come from families who care.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I have some scruples with that in general.
Exactly.
But fine, we can test it, because now we have this group of kids, all of whom come from families who want to sign them up, but only some of them get in. Perfectly equal students. Every single study – so we test the kids who don't get vouchers compared to kids that do get vouchers, and every single study that's done that has found learning gains, sometimes for students as a whole, or sometimes more heavily concentrated with important subgroups like African-American or low-income students.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question about it that these extremely rigorous, high-quality studies show that they work for the kids that are in them. So people say, well, what about the but what about the kids left behind?
Right.
That's
that was
most
what
of
we
them.
Kept getting.
And
right.
That's the even more convincing – body yeah. of literature. And people who really want to get into this should look at Representative Susana Mendoza's remarks when she was on the floor talking about this. But another study came out last week, which means we have 20 studies of school choice programs across the country that try to figure out, well, do these things hurt public schools? What happens to the public school performance or the performance of public schools in places where parents have this school choice option? Well, not only do we not find any evidence that it's hurting schools, 19 of these 20 studies find that these public schools improve.
They do better.
You know, sometimes 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points in a year, which is not insignificant, especially if you're at all familiar with education reform and know how hard it is to get
anything,
type of pulse
right.
at all.
Right.
From the system. So the simple fact is that everybody seems to benefit simply by having this option, whether they exercise it or not. And the social science is completely clear on that point.
You know, Colin and I were both down there, and I think at the end, towards the end when we were getting ready for the vote, we had been working on this for a period of about 2 or 3 weeks with members of the House. And every argument that they could come up with at some point in time, I think we had met their objections. We'd explained the issue to them as best we could. There were really no policy arguments against the proposal. At the end of the day, the rhetorical question of, well, let's just try it, nobody had an answer to that. It's very hard to defend the status quo. And unfortunately, we couldn't galvanize enough people to agree to take that leap. But as Colin described, we're talking probably last time 4-5 people at most who we needed to convince. And we simply, as he said, ran out of time. I think who's to say if we had another week or two and we could have had a break or something, probably gotten it over the goal line. But nonetheless, we made great strides coming from where we came from. I think, as you indicated, individuals such as Senator James Meeks, who really was the one that said, okay, I've had enough of this, and was willing to fight the establishment, if you will, and to take on anybody he needed to take on. And he had the courage of his convictions, and he just kept marching forward. And as you indicated, also Representative Kevin Joyce did a great job in the House with what he was given and how much time we had. I don't know if we could really truly expect a different outcome. I think we did fine, obviously disappointed. But I think hope is clearly the message we want to send. We got about 2 minutes or so, a minute and a half. What should people do between now and November? What's the best thing to do?
Well, A, find out who your state representative is.
And you can do that
again.
And
your state senator. And find out where they voted. You can go to illinoispolicy.org online to find out both who your representative is and what their position was on this particular legislation. Contact them
directly.
Yeah, right. Contact them soon and share with them your thoughts, because if this legislation were for some reason to pass in the fall, it would have worked exactly the same.
Right.
It goes into effect in January.
Right.
Parents are just as well off. So the opportunity to provide parents an option right away for parents a year from now, next summer, to be sitting around and knowing that they've got a choice, knowing that their kids are going to end up in a better place, is very real. It's still in front of us. So first of all, look into that. Second of all, know what your election – know what elections are coming up. If
right.
you're in a legislative – if the legislative seat is contested,
ask
your
the candidate's position on vouchers.
Ask your candidates
right.
about this and ask them particularly how they feel about school choice for children in failing schools.
Yeah. With that, we have to wrap up. I'm being told we're going to have to wrap up. Colin, thanks to you for coming in this morning. I know you made a long journey from Springfield, so thanks for coming up and joining us. And also thanks to Ralph Rivera, who joined us on the phone for a couple minutes. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next month to talk about other public policy topics in the news with the Catholic Conference. This is Bob Gilligan. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.